I will start recording, and I want to introduce myself. I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network, and this is our Residential Services Provider Affinity Group, and Jennifer Phillips, who has just been, is it, it's now it's for real, you
24
are
hours,
Director of Keshet. I guess it was just announced, or I don't know when
yesterday.
It was announced yesterday, so how exciting, very wonderful for you, is our chair of this group and the executive director of Keshet. So here we go. Let's take it away. It's the end, last week in August, too. It's probably not the best time to have an affinity group, right? People are going away, but my very first social work supervisor, right, 35 years ago, told me that every small group is a gift. And I think that's very true.
Absolutely. Okay.
There you go. Take it away, Jen.
So I know last time when we all met, we were talking a little bit about what we're going to do to keep our residents and our adults busy during the day. And I was talking a little bit about my incredible team that has put together, even from when we met then, a totally different program than we thought, but really making sure that we are doing as we do and what we talk about here at Keshet, and our mission is making sure that we're having meaningful days, that we are allowing for choice, and that we are allowing our residents and our adults during the day to feel as though they're up and about and doing and having some normalcy. And so they have worked together, our adult day program director and our residential director, to come up with a program. Here in the state of Illinois right now, you know, we just were allowed to reopen our day programs. And there was a lot of restrictions on what we can do and not do. And part of that was we only can be 50% capacity at our day program, but the complexities also lie in that a lot of our adults in our day program live in other residential homes and different agencies. And so as of right now, they're not allowing them to come to day programming. And that kind of goes for some of our residents in our homes. We weren't going to allow them to probably come to a day program. You know, we didn't want to mix pods, and we didn't really want to mix our residents that we're trying to keep safe and together with other adults. And also we're getting some funding through our residential homes through the state that allow us to have the capability of billing for some daytime hours that we're doing day program. So my team came up with some really great ideas, and I think they'll talk about some of the structure, but also some of the activities. I know you guys were asking about what activities they're doing that are keeping everyone a little bit engaged and making their days full, but also keeping them safe. So I will hand it over to them. You guys can introduce yourselves. That would be great.
And that was a great introduction, but I just wanted to mention, if everyone could just right click on their box and just write the town where you are so we know where everyone is, that would be great. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so whoever wants to go should go.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lauren Feldman. I've been here before. I'm our director of residential at Keshet. It's nice to see you or meet you. So I won't go way back to March 22nd or 16th or whenever this all happened, but about halfway through June, from March through halfway through June, our residents are so lucky that their parents lived in close vicinity and decided to take them out of our group homes and take them home with them to their family home. So on June 15th, we reopened. We have three homes. We reopened the first one on June 15th, and the others came shortly after. And so since then, something different just that of how than how it used to be before the pandemic. We never had staffing from our residential program 24/7. We always had people here. So the only time we didn't have our residential staff was during the day. So 9 a.m. till about 2, 3 p.m. when people were either at day program or working or volunteering or attending other agency day programs or other non-for-profit organizations activities throughout the day. And so we were working really hard on the residential end of things to staff that time, fill that time with the best that we could. And right around the time that we were planning and things were starting to get, I think, a little bit more challenging to keep, like Jen mentioned, meaningful days, we received our memo from our Department of Human Services sharing a different way to think about that day. And what they call it is at-home day program. I don't know if other states, well, actually I should look and see where everybody is. Florida, New Jersey, Chicago. Oh, Ashley, you know all about this.
Yeah.
I don't know what other states are doing, but essentially what that allows us to do is to provide Monday through Friday, 5 hours of day programming services. And we don't have a lot of autonomy on the documentation, but we have a lot of autonomy on what that looks like, which staff from our agency provide those services, which DSPs. And up until this point, we've had our day program DSPs and our residential DSPs. You're either one or the other. And so fast forward, you know, a couple weeks after digesting the information and trying to figure out, okay, what are we doing now? And what do we need to adjust or reinvent, as our state is calling it? And that's when, you know, I've been working in tandem with Lisa Liu, who you're going to hear from in a second, where we really teamed up to try to figure out how we could combine our amazing day program services in within our homes, along with following all the health and safety protocols that come along with COVID. So we began to plan. And Lisa and I were just joking. We were chatting before this just to make sure we were on the same page. And we feel like the buzzword of the moment is pivot. So we took a pivot.
Right.
And we are on, today's Thursday, the fourth day of at-home day programming. I think this is a good transition. I mean, I'm here, of course, we'll be part of the conversation, but for Lisa to introduce herself, and then we can talk about kind of what we've paired, our teams have paired together to create.
All right, thank you. Hello. So I'm Lisa, and so I'm the director of our adult services, and we've certainly done a lot of pivoting these past couple of months. So I oversee our community day services program. And so prior, pre-COVID, we had about 35 adults who we were serving in our program, and they were doing a lot of activities in the community. People had employment, people were volunteering, they were doing a lot of stuff here, and then we were told to close. And so that was our first pivot. What do we do? And so we converted a lot of what we were doing in person, aside from the employment and volunteering, to remote programming. And so we put together a pretty robust virtual programming schedule where we just had our staff who were working in person, we now had them put together different types of programming that they could do through Zoom. And so we offered 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, a variety of different activities for to connect and to thrive. And so we started in the morning. We do a morning hello. Lots of people would connect that way. We had people who were in our homes. We had people who were served by other residential providers in their cellas. And then we had people in their family home. And so we were connecting people and all different from all different places. And so they'd connect in the morning, and then after that, it was followed by a variety of different activities. So we started a book club, we started music appreciation, we started something we called cultural conversations, where each week they would travel virtually to another destination, and they learn about the culture and the food and the dance and the music and how long it took to get there, and lots of fun stuff about that. We do different brain game type of things. So we host also a group about numbers. We have someone who gets super creative about how to use calculators and how you can make different numbers with your birthday, or measuring cups. And this is a nurse, and she just really got incredibly creative. And that's actually one of our most popular groups. So that's called our numbers.
How old are the people that you're talking about that are attending these groups?
All adults. So usually like 22 and older. And so we also started a club fit. We had two of our nurses. That's the other thing. We all spent a lot of time sitting and looking at a computer. And so we tried to get creative with ways to get people moving and active and motivate them to do that, and to also learn about healthy habits and lifestyles. And so each week she'll do a different presentation on healthy habits. Whether they're learning about the healthy food, the food plate, or I think this week they learned about vitamins, they've learned about dental hygiene, they've learned about fiber and protein and carbs, and you name
that's
it.
Cool. Yeah.
So every week she spends about a half hour, 40 minutes teaching about different topics. And then the last part of that presentation is part of what we call our exercise challenge. And so that's where we get up and everybody gets to lead a physical activity. So, one person will say, I want to do, arm curls, get a can, or don't use anything. And, how much do you want to count to? So they'll count 10 times and do that, or jumping jacks or whatever. And so that's really popular, but it gets people up and moving. And then along with that exercise challenge, we also challenged everybody to be active at least 5 times a week. And then every morning on our morning hello, they get to report what kinds of physical activity they did the day before. And then for those people who met the challenge, we send them a certificate. Their Club Fit certificate. So that's been really motivating. We have people who, you can imagine, since March until now, there's a lot of weeks in between, and they plastered their walls now with these Club Fit certificates. So that was a really cool way to get people motivated to be active.
Yeah.
We do, so that's just an example of just some of the virtual programs that we've done. So that's really what we've been doing. And then, like Jen had said, so 4 days ago, we got to reopen. And so we went from 35 people serving that we were serving in person to now we have 6 people that we were serving in person at our site. We've had to put in place a lot of different health and safety protocols. Where actually it's not even 6 people in one group. We formed actually 2 different, we call them cohorts. And so that for the month of September, these people will be together for the whole month as their cohort with the same staff. And so they really choose together what they want to do, and they spend a lot of time in the community, and they also spend time at our site. And then we still had all these other people that weren't able to come in, and we still had staff who, we wanted to, of course, continue to employ and put their skills to use. And so that's when Lauren and I partnered to do what she had said before. We call it our at-home day program. And so we reassigned our day program staff to work in the homes. And again, we call them, so they're cohorts. So again, it's same. So we have one staff that's assigned to each of the homes. So there's not a rotation. And so we formed an internal planning committee to plan programming. And so they came up with lots of different curriculum and activities for the residents, as well as our in-person at our site, to to choose from. So they looked at a lot of outdoor activities. So what can they do outside? Can they go to nature preserves, forest preserves, botanical gardens? They put together photo scavenger hunts, lots of different exercise and fitness programming. And then they put together technology types of programming. So they're looking at virtual museum tours or virtual zoos or aquarium tours, or they're also working on technology skills. So computer and phone skills, we put together curriculum for that as well. And then educationally, they looked at also different kinds of games, numbers curriculum, current events, that kind of stuff. We also put together curriculum on a bunch of different activities of daily living. So whether it was cooking or hygiene or home management or home safety. So they have curriculum that they can run in all the homes as well. They put together curriculum for arts and culture, fitness and exercise. So lots of different things. We assigned, so as I said, we have one person now who goes into the home, and they spent a week training with Lauren and her staff and getting to know residents and working with the current staff who are there. And what we've also been able to do is while they have their cohort and they're assigned to just those residents, they've all been isolated and in their own different areas. So we, fortunately now the weather is nice. And so we've had our staff coordinate times to meet up with the different cohorts. So every morning they meet and they talk about what they're doing, and then they plan with their cohorts who they want to meet up with. So they formed an outdoor book club. So on Monday we had one group from one of Lauren's homes and one group from our day program site. They met at one of the houses. And they're reading Martin Luther King. And so they made different visuals, to talk about what they were learning. And then they read some chapters in that. So getting really creative to find ways to do things together, but still socially distance. We've also had people who aren't in our homes who are at their family homes, and they've requested backyard visits. And so those are things that we're trying to coordinate as well, so they could meet up with still somebody and have lunch in the backyard and socially distance and see them where they are.
Nice.
So that in a nutshell, Lauren, I'm sure you can add to anything I missed, but we're really excited to be able to partner. And many of the people that, not all of the people that we were serving before in our site are in the home. So our staff are now also getting to meet new people, which has been exciting. And then those residents are getting to meet people who are on our day program. So in a time when people are feeling isolated or they've just been with the same people for the past 5 months, it's really nice to give them opportunities to make some new friends.
Yeah, I think another thing to add on to Lisa's great description is that a couple of things. First, that planning committee, I took out my handy folder. They were able to put all that stuff on paper, so all the staff felt like they were getting sort of a guidebook. So this is the details of all the curriculum that Lisa was kind of just overviewing. And then also something like a choice board that may or may not be appropriate for everybody, but we wanted to make sure that although there are a lot of restraints and things we can or can't do, but people are still making choices about what they want to do based on what's available and what makes sense. Another piece that I think Lisa probably forgot to talk about is, in addition and in tandem to all of that logistical stuff that's going on with our at-home day program, we are also continuing to run not necessarily 6 hours of virtual programming, but I think it adds up to about 4 hours a day for about 4 hours of virtual programming available as well to those who are not able to meet in person or don't yet feel comfortable or maybe are medically fragile and not able to, so that we're still connecting. It might be a smaller group, but virtually as well.
So we thought it would be smaller, but shockingly, people, even in their cohorts, like in the homes, they still are, you know, really interested in what we're doing virtually. So, you know, 35 people connect to just a morning hello, and that's where they, not only do they get to say hello to their friends, but they also, we do a weather report. So we have one girl who always reports on the weather, and then everything that goes along with that, like what do you need to wear in this weather? We have someone who reports on sports. We have people who report on their exercise or their fitness. So I can't believe I forgot that. But yes, we're also doing virtual as well. We do lots of different things.
I don't know. It seems amazing to me what you guys have done. I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to it. I don't know if others have done similar kinds of pivoting, but I, and then I just have one question, because are you saying that you have 6 people out of the 35 are in your facility, right? So the 29 other people are in their homes, and you have 29 different staff, because each staff person goes to a different person's home, or does the staff have like 3 people's homes that they go into?
Yeah, they're not all one in one. So sorry, I didn't clarify that. Yeah, so
that's just me. Maybe everyone else understood it.
Yeah, so there's 3 homes, and so we have, in one of the homes, there's 4 people who live there, so we have 1 staff assigned to that home. In another home, there's 2 people who live there, so we have 1 staff who goes to
the home. You meant the homes that you have. I thought you meant the individuals' homes.
Our residential homes.
No, our residential homes, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Right. That's what I thought. And I'm going, oh my God,
that would be
really going at home, you know, doing programs at home. So, yeah, seems really.
Yeah. We're trying to also partner. I mean, like Jen said, there's, you know, there are other residential providers who have decided that it's not safe right now to let their residents come to our site. And so we are in conversations with them too, to find ways to not only just virtually be able to keep, stay connected and keep them engaged, but we're also trying to get creative with, you know, is there anything that we can do outside? Can we do one of those backyard visits, or can we create a cohort that's just the people who live in, you know, one of those homes? Yeah. And keep it a cohort. So the only new person to that bubble would be the staff, but it would be the same staff.
Right.
Or could we do something instead of 5 days a week for 5 hours? Could we maybe look at just taking steps and do, you know, a half a day twice a week? Mm-hmm. We really just want to be able to get as creative as we can to offer something in a safe way.
So what do you all think? Those that are in the field.
Amazing. I mean, I will definitely talk as far as like the virtual classes that they've all put together. A lot of my residents have been participating since the very beginning. And let me tell you, they are very, very dedicated. And it's definitely keep them all very much busy. And we're actually not ready to have our residents return until after. We're talking about maybe revisiting returning the day programs after the Jewish holidays. So that's definitely these virtual classes have been, you know, very much keeping everybody busy and keeping structure, which is important. And then of course, it's the social piece as well.
That's a big part of it.
It's huge, yes, yeah. Definitely.
And that's a lot of what, you know, just listening to some of our parents and them talking, you know, that, you know, our adults have felt disconnected.
Isolated,
and also, yes. Also, you know, opportunities they had before or relationships that they made, you know, that were, for some of our adults, have been lifetime relationships. You know, they grew up together from elementary school into adult programming. That's all gone away for them. And so that's been a really, really hard thing to navigate in making sure we're keeping them connected and virtually. But, you know, there's nothing like being in person, right?
Right.
And so, and having our adults be able to navigate those situations of social stuff, you know, there's nothing like being in person.
Yep. I'm waiting the day that we all really can be in person and people can feel, you know, not scared to be in person. But, you know, I guess there has to be a vaccine. I mean, do you think you'll ever get back to 35?
Yes, we'll get back to 35.
Okay.
And more.
That's right. The new ED, right. He's taking you to great places. So what about you, Andrea? What's
very,
happening?
Very, very hopeful. Yes.
Well, none of our day programs are, we don't have our own day program, but we send our residents, and none of them are open yet. I don't know at what point we would even send them. Certainly activities like Lisa described are similar to what we're doing, although what you reported on is very impressive. Our guys have been feeling a little cabin fever though. So we're fortunate. We have quite a few vans. So we separated them where we'd normally have everybody in one van. We take them in three vans. We've gone to the park if we know nobody's around, or like we have the beach down here, but we also have canals. So we go to the other side where nobody ever goes to that part of the beach. And we have had to get them off of the premises a little bit, maybe like 2 days a week. We just had our first new admission, which was a biggie. The man, the father, he lived in the Tampa area, so it's about 3 hours away. And the father had put him up in his own apartment, and there were care people that came in, like twice a day, and he really needed more than that. The father passed away, and there are no siblings. There are three siblings, but nobody lived nearby. So the brother who lives kind of close to us in West Palm Beach had contacted me early March, just when we were starting to hear things. I didn't do the normal procedure. We went to the group home. We decided, no, we're not going to go inside. So he and I met outside with masks, and the director of that group home came outside. We didn't let him go in, so we took pictures. Somehow, month after month, everything was virtual. The interviews with our clinical director, everything was virtual. And his admission was Tuesday this week. It was very different. We had him at least 4 COVID tests, I think.
Wow.
And the family was just very grateful to have him down here. Nice, nice guy. So he had a COVID test before he left Clearwater, he was from. And then as soon as he came down here, then he lived in quarantine with the brother and sister-in-law for 2 weeks. So they tested him when he first came down, then like 2 days before he was to leave. And we've been fortunate lately, the results have been coming back much faster than they were. So it was a total of 4 COVID tests. And so that was a biggie, our first admission. We do have here in Florida now, they've got test kits for the staff who have to be tested regularly. And I guess those packets go somewhere.
The rapid antigen testing, which
yes.
one?
Yeah, it's a swab. Uh-huh. And it goes to some sort, I don't know all the details, Lisa, okay. But it's not, we don't get it back the same day.
Okay.
But it's now the requirements on the group homes are the same as the requirements in the senior in the ALFs. And so that's what it is for staff. Now we're looking at
the state is testing them, not you guys as an agency.
No, we have the packets with the tests. But then we have to send them. So it's expensive. So sometimes rather than doing that, we are sending them to the sites. I mean, it's work time, but so that it can not cost us, because it's expensive to do that on a regular basis. But it's a requirement now for whatever it's worth. Now we're facing in our independent living program where they're in a large garden apartment complex, but they have their own apartment.
Yeah.
The parents want to take them home for the Jewish holidays. Previously, if they took them home, they'd have to be back in their apartment and be quarantined for 2 weeks before we let them with everybody else. So we're setting the parameters for that too. It's tough. It's really, it's really hard to take someone from the program. When they're quarantined, we have staff visit them like 3 times a day.
But they're willing to take that you know, they want to do that in order to go and spend the holiday with their family?
That we have some that have done that. Yeah, they did it at the very beginning when COVID was first spoken about, and then it got to be so long, the family said, we got to send the kids back. And so then they were quarantined, and now the same thing they're asking. So we're setting the rules. If you take your child home, this is what will happen. We've got a lot of the Jewish organizations down here are very welcoming as far as Zoom services and, you know, what we provide for them. But so we just have to tell the families, this is what, you know, this is what it's going to be like when they come back. It's hard. We're thankful so far. Thank God nobody's gotten sick with our residents. But it's tough. We don't put in the apartments. We have like 21 people. So normally they would all get together in our clubhouse and do things. We do allow 10 people at a time, and it's the same 10 people.
You've got cohorts too.
Yeah, we have cohorts as well. We had a nice activity. A lot of volunteers who are wonderful. Somebody does flower arrangements. So we included our group home people as well as our supported independent living people. We call our apartment people. And they were all in the one program. And we had real live flowers delivered. It was an expensive project. Delivered to all the locations. And they did, you know, flower arrangements through Zoom.
I love that.
It was beautiful. Great.
That's really a nice idea for the holidays too, you know, to have something like that. But
it was a good Facebook photo ops.
Yeah.
But it's been, to say it's not a challenge, obviously it's been a challenge. I have no idea when the day programs will open.
You know, Andrea, I just wanted to say that you're in Florida, so you have good weather. Right?
Oh, no, I wouldn't call this good weather.
It's too hot, you mean? It's too hot. Well, I'm thinking about Illinois. How much longer are you going to be able to be outside, right?
And
do all the programming that you're doing. It's hard. And we've got 4 people from Illinois here.
We were talking about it last night on a meeting, a parent call. I mean, we think we have like 5 or 6 weeks maybe left.
So then, you know, things really change again. Talk about pivoting, you know. Yeah.
But, and figuring out ways to keep everybody active, even if, you know, it starts snowing outside. And
well, I like the fit exercise classes, that those kinds of things are a good idea, you know.
I realize I shouldn't complain about the weather.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's super hot now.
It's too hot right now, really. Right.
It is, I'm sure.
Yeah. But it'll get better. Your weather will get better as time goes on, whereas everyone else's will get worse.
Yeah, it'll make it challenging for sure.
Yeah.
We had a hurricane that fortunately, so far, we still have the whole season to go through. But our group homes are all hurricane safe. And in past years, we have a whole procedure where the people in the apartments would stay, you know, they have sleeping bags and stuff, and they would all bunk out in the 2 group homes. Well, we didn't want to do that this time. And it was, okay, where do we, because where they are located, it's kind of close to the ocean. So it's an evacuation area. So we ended up, and, you know, this is just the start of hurricane season. But for this last one, we put them all in a hotel not far away.
Yeah, I guess that was a smart move. You probably did it. Yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah.
It's a little vacation for them, I'm sure.
Yeah. Scenery.
So I didn't know if you all saw what people had written on the side who had to leave. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Jen. Melissa, their day program is running 100% virtually, and they're capturing 25% of clients. They hope to offer on-site half-day activities at least once a week to clients in their residential program. And on other days to non-residential clients, the virtual activities are cooking, bingo, current events, art, story time, karaoke. I didn't hear that. That was good.
Yeah, no, that's our biggest one is karaoke.
Oh, everyone does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Also awaiting approval of addendums to add, I don't know, CAI for those residential clients who are not interested in CAG, virtual activities. You all know what that is?
No.
Community I don't know. If anyone would like to know more, well, what CAI or CAJ, I'll let her know. And then Bernadette had to leave. And I don't know if you remember Bernadette. Now I'm remembering her because she just said they're a new residential provider. Yes. And they just got approval today. Remember, she was waiting.
Oh, that's good. They were waiting for the approval. That's
from
awesome.
The assistant commissioner to have move-ins, and their day program will start mid-month.
Nice.
She apologizes. You know, she needs to run, but oh my gosh, I want to hear what happens with her. Thanks, and she wants to see us again. She looks forward to see us again.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. No, but it sounds like, I think, you know, across the board that people are wanting to get back into person, right? And it looks like there's some hybrid stuff going on. And I think particularly it's difficult because of the residential homes.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to be as careful as possible with our residents living in our homes so that, you know, we are not intermingling too many people at once.
You right.
know, we're making it even bigger. You know, now that we're bringing adult day program staff in, we're adding more people.
Right.
So as much as we can, you know, keep our adults kind of in their pods and not mixing is going to be the best.
How is Illinois' spread rate? Because New Jersey's is 0.77, right? So that's less than 1%, which is pretty good.
I think it's like 4.1%.
So yours is still not under 1%. Okay.
No.
Still not terrible.
Wow.
That's scary. What?
So that's amazing for North, for New Jersey.
Yeah.
And New York, because at one point you were not good.
Yeah, we weren't good at all. Yeah. But so it's 0.77. You know, I guess I wonder, has anyone had COVID in your facilities? Have you had to deal with that, staff or client?
Have you, Ashley?
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
What happened?
Luckily, the folks that did test positive, I think only one of them had a fever. So everybody else was asymptomatic. But one of our homes, we were able to just have two staff members stay for those 14 days. So they pretty much moved in for those 14 days and stayed at that one home. The other home where we had clients that tested positive, we just had two staff members that were two or three. It was I think it was closer to April, but I think we might have had like two or three staff members where they just rotated. Mm-hmm. And our other homes, we're still not, you know, mixing staff or, you know, getting the other residents together.
Right. Well,
we haven't had any cases, but we had a recent exposure that, and so we had to ignite our exposure policy. So one of our residents on a family visit was exposed to somebody who tested positive. And anyway, turns out after following our protocol, which part of it, you had like a choice of quarantine, or you could end the quarantine early by having a double negative. And so he got the double negative back. But while we were waiting for everything, the person who had the closest, there was only one person in the house that had close contact with him.
Yep.
Was isolated in her bedroom for 4.5 days. And then everybody else, the house was just kind of on lockdown besides staff.
Wow.
But we already had only a small amount of staff rotating in and out of the house, but it was scary. I was gonna say
that must have really been frightening when you think about it, you know, because
yeah.
it could have more and more people could have been impacted.
Yeah, it was definitely frightening, but I will say that all those long months of like really a lot of meeting time with our safety committee and going back and forth about protocol, and which we continue to do on a weekly basis just to make sure that we're tweaking things, I felt like it paid off, and I felt really confident that I had somewhere where I could go and I knew exactly what I was going to do and who I was going to contact and how I was going to contact them and what to say. And so that helped me feel really confident in getting through the situation.
Right. I remember we had these conversations in the beginning. No one knew anything, what to say about nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, really, how far you all have come, because I think you had to put the most protocols into place when you think about that.
And I also think it's going to give us, you know, a leg up. We know that there's going to be, you know, different things that are going to be roadblocks and barriers in the next 3, 6, 9 months. Things are not going away. And I think the opportunity for us to think ahead what we need to do as the winter is coming upon us. You know, I don't think we're as in the crisis mode as we used to be, like, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. We know that we're going to have to be indoors and that COVID's not going away. And so, you know, being proactive and thinking about what we need to do, I think will give us a leg up.
Are you guys worried about the flu, the twin pandemics, you know, that people are saying that there's going to be the flu and COVID and everyone needs to get flu shots now? I mean, is that happening with your residents?
I had family, quite a few families have asked, what do we think about that? And are we recommending? And certainly we're not recommending any. I mean, it's talk to your doctor and see what your doctor says. But interesting that you said that, because, you know, in the past 2 weeks, I actually have gotten calls or emails from families asking, what do we think about getting, you know, whether or not they should get the flu shot. So
yeah, I was on a
to bring it up is because so many of these schools, let's say in New Jersey, are there's like mandates for kids to get flu shots if they're mm-hmm. going back to school, or, you know, they have to show proof. And a lot of people don't want to even do any vaccine, let alone a flu shot vaccine. They only want to do polio or whatever, you know, vaccines mm-hmm. there were.
Right.
Not polio, but measles or bumps or whatever.
MMR.
Yeah, I was on a Federation call yesterday. One of the things we were talking about our interagencies, specifically JCFS and a couple other ones, about maybe having the opportunity to offer flu shots to our residents so that they don't have to leave and go to a hospital or a doctor, but that we could bring someone even outside to the homes and hopefully for free shots.
Well, and Chad, that's a great idea. I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah.
But
so, you're not mandating it. It's optional.
Well, you can never mandate it, but I think that, you know, families may take, you know, us up on that. And then we're not having to take the residents to the doctors or in the community or anything. And we can actually offer it to staff too.
Yeah.
Right. We're not at the numbers that, I mean, we're still above 5% here.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
So there are doctors that will only do, you know, most of them is still telemedicine, but there are doctors that even in their office won't take sick people. They're only taking, you know, the healthy checkups. And if you're sick, you go to a clinic. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not my idea. Someone else brought it
up. Okay. You'll get the credit.
But no. But I mean, it really was a good idea as we're just trying to help each other out across the board. And so, you know, I don't know, a lot of our residents, their families will probably want to take them, but some of the other residential homes, they don't have families around. And
right.
I know that will be beneficial for those organizations.
Right, yep.
Without a doubt. Because we're so focused on this pandemic right now, but it is true, the flu season's coming upon us. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking that when we first started this in March, the end of March, whatever it was, Passover was 2 weeks in or a week in. And that was just so unusual to do Zoom Passover. And it was such a novelty. And now I don't think there are any synagogues who are bringing any people together for the high holiday services. So, you know, I don't know why I just brought that up, but
I think some of the Orthodox,
you could even do your own services, you know, via Zoom if the families don't want to go, or you could hook into someone else's because everyone's so open about it, like Andrea said. But
yeah, so I don't know. I know maybe we can send out a survey to talk about, you know, Lisa, what we want to cover on our next meeting, because there's not a lot of people on the call. So maybe we can do that.
We can do that for sure, but we just have to come up with topics that they could click off, I imagine, mm-hmm. or ask them to you know, put in something. I think 16 people said they were coming, but I have a feeling because it's the last week before Labor Day, you know, I think a lot of people are not here. Because I don't know about you all, but many agencies basically told their staff that they need to take time off before the holidays, before the Jewish holidays, because then everything gets back up and going in the summer is when things are somewhat slower. But, you know, I don't know why. That's just one. But
it's all good. But I don't want to keep anyone.
If you send me topics, you guys on here, I'll put them into a survey. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think it would be great to talk about, I mean, I know not everybody's changing weather, but flu season, planning for a transition, and again, another pivot. Trying to get creative.
Even more creative.
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. Well, it's always good to see you all.
You too.
You know, have a Shana Tova, sweet year, and looking forward to seeing you the next time, which I think is in, I don't even know, October. I don't have that date. Terrific. We'll let you know. And nothing's changed again, Andrea. So keep that date.
Okay.
Bye, everyone. Okay. Bye, Jen.
Bye. Thanks, Lisa and Lauren.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.